people are asked to list the biggest killers in society, I don't think loneliness had featured too highly in many people's answers.
We ran a study where we got people to list 11 different things that were, you know, most likely to affect their life expectancy. Obesity, smoking, not getting enough physical activity. Those are the things people tend to put at the top of the list.
But you think loneliness is more deadly?
That's actually what the studies are showing.
So loneliness is just as harmful as smoking?
That's what the data's telling us.
Even though loneliness is not a medical diagnosis, it can have very real effects on your health.
Yeah, actually, when we have prolonged loneliness, what we're really talking about is that we're not getting any connection with other people. And what that does is it wears down our resilience, which is really just a fancy way of saying our ability to weather life storms. Therefore, it can lead to increased depression as well as anxiety. And then I've seen this online and with my patients over the years, is it can increase our suicidal ideation as well as suicide attempts.
Loneliness can affect both mental and physical health.
It contributes to depression. It increases the risk of cardiovascular disease and dementia.
It is so common. 1 in 3 people experience loneliness. It was up to 1 in 2 during the pandemic.
Channel. But there are some quite profound effects on health, mental health, and even physical health. But it is clear that having friends is protective of your health in various ways. And so it's not just that being without friends can make you isolated in a sort of economic or a social sense, but it can also make you sad. And being sad, it turns out, is also bad in terms of your physical as well as emotional health. There are some studies that suggest, for example, that being lonely is as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. And so as we've seen these real challenges faced by men, you're seeing some really difficult and troubling health consequences. The so-called deaths of despair from suicide, overdose, or alcohol, 3 times higher among men than among women. And rising very quickly, especially among middle-aged men. As society changes in all kinds of ways, technologically, economically, then I think it's important we pay attention to what is very often an underappreciated human relationship, which is the friendship.
Studies show that 1 in 3 Australians are lonely.
Loneliness is a condition that seems to, at some point, affect us all. There are 2 main groups in society that suffer from loneliness most. One is young people. We tend to think of adolescents and young adults as being surrounded by social networks, but they're much more likely to be lonely in the crowd. They have a lot of people around them, but they don't feel connected to them.
The other group is older people. As they age, people begin to lose their social networks, especially in the workforce, and as they become more physically frail and find it more difficult to leave the house. What's more, the rates of loneliness for both young and older people are much higher for men than they are for women.
Today, we're talking about loneliness, specifically for males in retirement. But if you're a young male or a woman of any age, this conversation will benefit you also. Whether it's gaining an understanding of your loved ones who do fit in that category, or whether it's being inspired by the people we spoke to. In this episode, we sat down and had a conversation with Richard Green about how to retire well and make meaningful connections along the way.
Welcome to Science Radio, episode 202, The Problem with Men.
Richard, welcome to Science Radio. It is great to have you on here. We don't have your wife, Shannon, on with us today, but I really do think that you two are a bit of a couple's goals, life goals kind of people. I've known you for a long time, and it seems that you've created a very meaningful, wholesome life for yourselves. And so I'm excited that we get to pick your brains a little bit today. So thank you for being willing to jump on with us.
Oh, my pleasure. It'd be good to have Shannon. But you're right, she's very busy. She's busy today at the uni, continuing on with the last part of her write-up for her doctorate.
Well, before we get into things, we would love to know a little bit about yourself, Richard. We don't need a full life story, but can you paint a picture as to what your life currently looks like, how you spend your time, where you live, and so on?
I've been retired for quite a while now. I must be getting on close to 10 years. Bit of a forced retirement, but that worked out pretty well for us. I've got a whole lot of little commitments that keep me quite busy and quite happy. I got involved in my sport, which is the outrigging canoeing. And more recently, I've started coaching in that space. So that's a couple of days a week that I get involved in that. And then there's one or two days a week I'm down at that workshop. I'm at least there once a week because I do a lot of that.
Men's sheds or community sheds originated in Australia to improve the health and well-being of older men. Since the first community shed opened in 1993, the Australian Board movement has grown to include more than 1,200 sheds in Australia and more than 2,500 worldwide. Prior to having this conversation with Richard, I visited my local shed, the one that he too attends, and sat with a bunch of men over a cuppa and a barrel of biscuits.
I'll sit in the front.
You sit there in the front. There's a reason for that noise, but
what are you working on today?
My figure.
Nice.
Hey, whatever you're doing, it's not working. Doll's house.
Doll's house? Awesome.
Yeah.
Is that what you usually make?
Me? No, I just make a mess.
Yeah. Nice.
There's one of the things that I make. That little house.
This house?
Yeah.
Right, the big dog's house at the moment.
Yeah.
It's on the bench there. Yeah.
I just make a mess most of the time. Oh, jeez.
What are you working on at the moment?
Oh, nothing much, but I did bring a bit of wood in because I was in the garden. I cut this and I thought, now that'll make a nice little bowl. So I might do that. A bit of bottle brush.
Nice.
The fruit trees and flower trees like that, they're slow growing and therefore the grain's really close. And with really close grain, you get nice patterns in the grain.
Got any trees at your place? You better watch out of here.
Yeah, these are cool.
Nice one, Nick, eh? Nice one, Nick, mate.
Very cool for you.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where's Nick?
Not arrived, Nick, somewhere.
Is that a good enough lock that you've got?
Oh yeah, I decided I had to get serious.
Oh!
It's a beauty, eh?
You need it these days.
Oh, one or two days a week I'm down at that workshop. I'm at least there once a week because I do a lot of the admin for the men's shed. I'm a very happy grandfather, so I'm often seeing my daughter and granddaughter and spending a lot of time every now and again when I get a chance making things for them because I like being creative. And then I'm on a school board, so that keeps my financial academic interest going. I enjoy having my foot in lots of circles because once I get my foot in a circle, I thought, oh, this is fun. I'd like to keep doing this. And so that just expands and ends up being lots and lots of circles. So I think the trick is just to step out and find those circles. And the more you get into one circle, then the more circles come along. I got involved with being on a school board because I used to go for a swim, not on my own in the morning, but I noticed there was other people going for a swim in the morning. So I just started speaking to the people there and formed a bit of a connection because they'd be there much the same time in the morning. And I got to know one of those guys quite well, and he was a bit older than me, and he wanted to retire from the school board that he was on, and he was like me. He'd been an accountant and said, look, would you like to take my place? Come along. You know, I'm almost 80 and I want to do some travel. I could come along and meet the headmaster and see whether you'd like to help them out. And so, you know, one circle can lead one effort to just step outside your comfort zone and talk to someone can lead to all sorts of things. And sometimes that's all it takes is just to have a chat to someone that you see in your daily life, wherever it is.
Forgive me, Richard, but that almost sounds like several full-time jobs rolled into one. Would you say that you're more busy now that you're retired, or is this Richard taking a break?
I am busy, but it's a good busy because there's no stress involved, in the sense that if something doesn't get done today, you can get done tomorrow. When you're busy and you feel as if you have to get it done, that, and you worry about getting it done, well, that's really hard work. But if you allow yourself to take all the stress out of that, which you can do when you're retired, well, I can anyway, then it's not hard work at all.
You were a tax lawyer, I believe, prior to your retirement. When you were a tax lawyer, did you have this many things you were engaged in? Or when you retired, did you all of a sudden have to be like, I've got to find things to do and to fill my time?
Oh, I had lots of things that were going on when I wasn't being a tax lawyer, but I didn't have the time to get involved in them. And when I was relieved of that commitment, the time soon filled up, and I soon got to the stage where I thought, I don't know how I ever had time to go to work.
The topic that we're really trying to tackle is male loneliness. Now, Richard, I'm not sure what your relationship to this is, but I'm sure that you've got a lot of friends around your age bracket who have probably experienced some of this. And, you know, obviously talking about Men's Shed, that's such a helpful community service for men who are needing something to do. But perhaps, do you want to tell us a little bit about your relationship to male loneliness, either to yourself, maybe the people around you? Because it seems to me that especially when men age and then they retire, a lot of those things that were keeping them, I guess, sane or busy or what have you, when they tend to disappear, sometimes that can be pretty tough.
Yeah, you're right. And I do think about it a bit, mate, from a couple of angles when I reflect on how my different life values have changed in the last 10 years. Like with the Men's Shed, we think about, in our decision-making, what sort of a shed we want to have and how we're going to achieve the goals we want. And a lot of the goals that we're trying to achieve are really, because even though you say it's a men's shed, we call ourselves the Woodwork and Craft Club. We're really quite an individual little sort of organisation that was started out by some retired tradesmen who were doing some work in schools, teaching young boys who weren't very academically inclined some woodwork. But the woodwork is really just the instrument to try and affect some change in these young boys, because they didn't have any real desire to have any academic success because they didn't have a lot of confidence. And giving them a little bit of confidence in something like woodwork helped them to tackle new things. And I think that's a lot of what we're trying to do with our little woodwork organisation, even though it's all about woodwork is what we do. The reason we're there is to affect change in the lives of the members and the members of the community that we come in contact. Mm. Things that they feel are constructive things to do, things that lifts their confidence or their ego in a certain way because they've achieved certain things. And I think having somewhere to go and something to do, they're all things that combat what you can slip into, which could be loneliness or depression or however worry and anxiety might manifest it for lots of people.
I think it's awesome that the Shed seeks to sow into young people and to influence them, because it's a win-win, really. They get a mentor, and then the people doing it, it's like we know that serving helps the server as well. One thing you see often that is like stereotypical for people who retire is a lot of males find their sense of purpose in their job and in their workforce, and they retire, they all of a sudden feel lost as to what do I do, what is my meaning here. So I think it's awesome that the Shed tries to fill that gap, whether you're intentionally doing that for that reason or not. It kind of does.
Yeah, you're 100% right. For a lot of guys my age, when we were in our profession working away, a lot of our value system was based around being providers in so much as making money, building up financial reserves so that we could do things for our family or do things for ourselves. And probably not spending enough time then slowing down and enjoying the moment. But all of a sudden, when the moment is right in front of you, that way that you saw value in yourself and what you were doing is gone. In the retirement industry, they talk about moving from the accumulation phase to the distribution phase. And it's a bit like that, isn't it? Because all of a sudden, you don't have to be chasing the money as much. And you've got the opportunity then to distribute your time. If you've got some money, well, there's that as well. And I think that's what we try and think about in the Men's Shed. I read something recently that talks about society doesn't have enough opportunities for generosity. And I think that's something that we've missed a little bit with our shed, because since COVID, we haven't had the same opportunity to work with the kids we used to. We used to do 2 days a week every week all through the school term. And then when COVID came, we lost that because of all the compliance issues that came from COVID. And a lot of them are still there. There's new ways of work health and safety and all sorts of things. And I think we missed that a lot. We lost a lot of members. Our membership was around 60 and it went down to about 20. But we've recently just found a new way that I think gives us more opportunities for generosity. There was a group of women who were wanting to get involved in woodwork. Lady approached us to see if they could either join us or find a way that they could link in what we were doing. And we've just started with them now. They run a few woodwork for women classes and a few of them will join us as members. And because they're looking for help, then it provides an opportunity for us then to reach out and form networks with them and show them how to do things. I think those opportunities are out there. Sometimes you just got to go looking for them.
Yeah, I know when I spoke to you at the shed, some of the men mentioned a few things, like they were also making things and then selling them at the markets. And I think recently you'd done a community garden for the stable.
It's jungle over there anyway. I've been over there quite a few times.
Yeah.
Just
nice.
Lot of the oil. But I've probably made, I don't know, different sizes and shapes and that. I've probably made 100 of them.
Wow. What, you sell these at the markets?
Yep. They can use them for whatever they like, table or...
Yeah.
The neighbourhood centre in Palm Beach, we built some community gardens there that are particularly designed for wheelchair access.
Who do they give the food to? Just...
Oh, yeah, they've got a big garage out the back for homeless people who need a food handout. It's a sort of a distribution centre.
How many in the beds did you make them?
Oh, we've done two lots. How many in the first lot? About six. And then the second lot has about another six.
Okay, so you're about a dozen.
Yeah, if you put them all in line, they'd be 700 or 800 wide. And
Yeah.
20 metres or more, I suppose.
Yeah.
25 metres.
You know, we built a potting bench and a picnic table. Yeah.
Very cool. And you also go... I do see this place sometimes at the community markets.
Yeah.
Selling things.
Yeah.
As well.
Probably once every couple of months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd probably go there in another long going away for a week. We'd probably go there.
Which was a cool initiative, but I really like that idea of accumulation distribution phase. Do you have any words of wisdom or advice for people who are approaching retirement or are new to retirement who are struggling to find ways to contribute or struggling to know how to live with purpose still?
One of the things that happens when you get a little bit older than I am, but a lot of the members of the worksheet are like this, that it's a bit hard to avoid the health issues that come along. And when the health issues come along, there's lots of ways to treat it, but one of the things that can happen is that you can really worry about them, because what happens is this new layer of uncertainty is happening in your life. Either you might have got a cancer diagnosis and it might be minor, but it still doesn't stop you from worrying about it, or you might be feeling a bit depressed and you're worried, am I getting really depressed? Is things going to get worse? Well, one of the things that really seems to make a difference with some of our members who've found themselves in this lot is they just find ways to carry on. I don't know whether you remember Pete, who was the shipbuilder at the workshed?
Give him a run through all the...
Right here, because Peter's just arrived.
Nice.
Run through all the...
It's Peter the boss.
All the machinery.
Right. Oh, yeah, he thinks he's boss. Can you get past there, right, Pete? Here, I'll fix it. How Hey, Pete, Peter's here to talk to you.
What a put my sign back up the front where they all drive in and pick up and drop the kids off in the morning.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Pete, won't be
getting
away.
Sorry, Pete, I've taken your parking spot.
It's cheap of
What are you doing there, Pete?
Taking his false teeth out.
Sorry, DNA, it's not working. I can't even see it.
How long have you been coming here for?
Just over 10 years, I think.
Nice. Yeah. The longest running person?
No, we've got two older.
Okay.
Nice. Probably the longest running regular, though.
Yeah.
Regular. Yeah, every day, me, but the eldest are...
Not much older though.
Twice a week or something.
Yeah.
We've got Roy and Pete.
And Graham.
And Graham. They'd all be in between 80 and 90, I suppose.
I've got to watch out for Graham. He was coming yesterday.
Are these your ships?
Yeah, he's made all those. The whole, whatever you see, he's made all those. And these houses.
Oh wow.
And a whole bunch of other houses over there.
Very cool.
Mm. He's still making them.
The Queen Mary would have to be the favourite, isn't it? The one with three funnels?
Yeah. But he's made
it. That's a Clyde Puffer.
The drawings.
Scottish Clyde Puffer.
Yeah. Why are you so interested in ships?
Oh gee. That's a long story. When I was 12, my parents moved down to Sydney, and I went for a walk one day underneath the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and I heard, this great big ship went past me, under the bridge. That was for me.
He's been hooked.
And I used to go around all at that time, most boats were made out of timber.
Yeah.
And I used to go around all the boat yards, and it just became entrenched in me.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the bulk of... affordable boats are fiberglass.
Pete, who was the shipbuilder at the workshed, now he was in his 80s and he'd still come along to the workshed, but because of his age, he was starting to get a bit of a shake in his hand. And there was another guy there, Doug, he's diagnosed with an Alzheimer's disease, and he comes along and he's got the shakes too, and both of them have got the shakes so much they can't use the heavy equipment anymore, but they still carry on. Doug comes along and does some gardening, and Pete comes along and builds his model boats. He used to be build boats, but now just model boats. But they're the greatest characters, and they have such a great sense of humour. Not only do they carry on, they just have a zest for life. Even one of the things that they have this great party trick, because they both had the shakes, they tell us that all they had to do was to shake hands, was to hold hands, because they have a natural shake. And they'd display this to anyone who came in wanting to see it.
That's great.
So I think it's important to have something to do that you feel constructive in, and that'll carry you through. It's carried these guys through. You know, Doug's still doing the gardening, and Pete passed away recently, but he was in his home and died in his sleep, but he just got up every morning and came down to the shed. Often couldn't do much, but he was there.
Yeah, Pete's a champion. I came into the shed, I think it was a month before he passed away, and he still rode in on his scooter, came to work on in his boat.
Yeah.
Fully committed.
Yeah. We've been very intentional, Richard, about talking about a certain age group, you know, people in their retirement era and beyond. But you've mentioned younger people and women and people from different demographics. So I think it'd be good to take that opportunity. Why do you think that it is so important to work with young people, whether I'm assuming you're talking high school age kids. Are they the sorts of kids that you're working with?
No, primary school, really. It's not really so much about the woodwork, but they're at the very formative age where they're having trouble just developing normal relationships, and one of the big successes that I gauge when some kids that come into the workshop and they can't make eye contact with you because their mind's just drifting all over the place, and they can't sit still. And if at the end of a couple of weeks of showing them how to do things, they shake my hand and say thanks for helping me, then that's what we've achieved. Building this relationship that, well, here's this old fella that actually I can trust, and I can look at him and I can shake his hand and everything's all right. mean, that's what we were trying to build, and that's a lot of the time what we were able to achieve. It's just the most amazing feeling, and that's what drove a lot of the guys to be at the shed. It's really not that hard a thing to do, because the guys would get lots of other benefits from it as well. Like, you know, sometimes volunteer work can sound like hard work, but if you create a structure where it isn't hard work, and I think that's what we were always trying to do in the shed, is even though we do this volunteer work, we don't load ourselves too much on that we're going to burn ourselves out, or that it stops being something that everybody is really happy to do, and we're sort of doing it together. And I think when I say create opportunities for generosity, it's create a place where people can just feel comfortable and give, but not feel as if it's become a chore. There's opportunities out there. Sometimes they're hard to find, but they're all out there.
One thing that I have noticed, and I think the stats are fairly significant here, is that the two things later in a marriage that tend to make things quite difficult, it's number one, the empty nester sort of situation, and number two is retirement, especially for married couples who, you know, they've been working perhaps for the last 20, 30 years of their married life, and then suddenly they're at home alone together and they realize they don't quite know how to relate with their spouse anymore now that the kids are gone, now that the job's gone, all that sort of stuff. Is there anything that you've noticed around this phenomenon, Richard? And is there anything that you've had to do to work through it yourself? It does sound like you and your wife are still pretty busy, so maybe this is not necessarily as applicable to your life, but I'm guessing that maybe you've seen it in some of your friends or, you know, family members.
It's interesting that, our woodwork and craft club, there's probably more single people than you'd find in the normal population. I suppose they've been able to find the push to get themselves out and find us, and once they've found us, they've found that they fit in really well.
Would you say the majority of those people are single because they've been single for a while, or are we talking divorcees or spouses passing away?
Yeah, most of them have been single a while, and it's a bit of both, and others have lost their partner. But there's some there who do have partners. And I think that sometimes you're right. I think sometimes you think that, well, now that we're together, we should do everything together. Well, Shannon and I have always been busy with our own separate interests, and we have busy lives, but then we make time to be together. And I think that makes the time that we do have together more special. Like, I've got something to do every day of the week, and one of the days of the week that we get together is Monday morning. Shan gets down to the university really early, often around 4:35 in the morning, and she'll do a couple of hours work and then want to have a break for breakfast about 8. So I'll go to a little cafe that's just near the university, and we'll spend an hour or two together having breakfast. And that's one of our mornings when we'll discuss, well, what's happening during the week and what are the commitments we've got, and, you know, how are we going to do things? We'll plan things, but we'll also reflect on how things are going with her studies that week and the different personalities and the challenges that she's had and what she's going to have. So I think that for me, anyway, it's been good to have a really balanced life as far as time with my partner and time away. I think both are very important for me to have a very fulfilling life at the moment. Sometimes it's good to find an interest in your own that isn't actually the same as your partner's. If you're feeling cramped or the balance isn't right, it makes the time together even more special, that's all.
I do remember when I came into the shed, one of the men said, we've got a few women come in with their husbands to get them to join up, frankly, to get them out of the house and give them something to do, which I thought was funny, but I think it also ties in.
Well, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be looking around to do something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not the sort of person who's going to sit at home and read a book or watch TV all day. Yeah. We used to get a few women come in with their husbands and get them to join up, mainly to get them out of the house, I think, or give
the
them
women
something
as
to
well.
Do.
Yeah. Oh.
No, the women.
Oh, the women would send the men here.
Yeah.
Because I have noticed you guys aren't actually called a men's shed, you're called a worker shed.
Yeah.
Woodwork.
But I'm guessing not many women come here.
We have had times where we've had quite a few women.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had half a dozen, I suppose, at times.
You know, when we've had half a dozen, we maybe only had, say, 12
20 men or something that there was enough women, so that got up to about a third or a quarter of them. But at the moment, I think we've only got two women at the moment, but we've only got couples.
Yeah, you said only six people, so.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got 15 or so members all up.
Yeah, and some of our members are guys who join up because they've always been a member, but they actually don't get to come in very often because either their health or for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And it, so there's, if we have a good day, it's probably, as you said, as you had said, it's probably seven people or something like that. It's on one of our best days.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a few guys that only come in once, every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And they come in for, might roll up about this time and stay all.
Which I thought was funny, but I think it also ties into another thing that I wanted to bring up, which is I feel like when a lot of retirement warnings or suggestions are given, it's directed towards males. And I don't know if we just have this idea in our heads in Australia or in the West that women are just better at connecting and they're used to doing all these things and they don't find their purpose in work maybe as much. I don't know if that's changing these days, but then I think about that, and then I think about when I've traveled to other countries, I remember thinking of particularly Turkey or Asia or Morocco or India, the men are very close with each other. It'll be the men that are gathering together and the men that are having tea together and the men that spend a lot of their time in these close kind of friendships. And so I don't know if either of you can speak into that, because I don't know if it's just a cultural thing that we have adopted or that we have gotten used to where males don't connect as much or they find it more difficult, but it doesn't seem like it's like that in other countries.
Well, for me and my generation, I think a lot of it's been conditioning. I mean, and it all starts with the relationship you have with your father. And I think I probably haven't been as close to my son as I would have liked. And that's where it starts. I think that now I'm trying to have a closer relationship with my son, but you set the parameters early. And I think I've got a lot closer relationships with men now, but it's taken me a while to shift my values and appreciate the value in not having this to-do list every day that's essential that everything gets done. Remember I was telling you that I found ways to take the stress out of life, because it's not as if the to-do list isn't there. It's just that I'm not as worried about making sure that everything gets done. The doing is actually more important than the getting done. And I think part of having more relationships is they take time, and the time is well spent and enjoyed, but sometimes you're more worried about getting things done rather than just enjoying moments. That's my simple observation.
Yeah,
I think that's probably pretty on the money. I mean, if you think about the stereotypical Western man of the 20th century, I mean, what is it, like Clint Eastwood or something, you know, the loner, the lone wolf, the self-reliant man, whether he's a entrepreneur or some sort of ultra-specialized genius at whatever, like the type of man that men have aspired to be, they tend to set themselves apart, at least in popular culture, and they tend to be that kind of like, oh, well, nobody gets me, or nobody gets my genius, or nobody can live up to my expertise or whatever the case may be. So I think that, you know, culture has definitely turned the aspirational man into a lonely man, I think, in many ways. And I mean, we do live in a hyper-individualized culture. That's just what the West is like. And that applies to both men and women. And advertising companies still sell that doctrine to us every day. So it's pretty hard to swim against that tide, I think, whether you're in your 60s or you're 16. I think it's still the same.
Jesse, since we are talking specifically about male loneliness, I'd also love to hear from you. Do you feel like this is something that you struggle with, finding community and finding other males to connect with at your age? What's your experience been with male loneliness?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, most of the men that I know in a professional capacity, not necessarily a personal capacity. And sometimes those lines blur, but it's hard to be friends sometimes with your coworkers. I think as well for me, because I live a lot of my life online, I think there's a level of, I don't know if inauthenticity is the right word, but there's a sort of facade of connection that is probably more facade than real in terms of, you know, being part of a group chat or catching it with somebody on FaceTime or whatever. You know, I have friends in Western Australia, New Zealand, different parts of the country, America, Europe, all that sort of thing. You know, different friends that I've met over the years and who I try to keep in contact with. But I've very few close friends that I could just drive over to their house in like 15, 20 minutes. And I do think that I and most of my friends probably don't prioritize connection as a value as much as we should, because I'm in the stage of my life where I'm trying to have a career and looking forward to raising a young family and doing all those things where I've got to be hustling and working and moving and sometimes, a lot of the time, cultivating good, healthy relationships outside of my immediate family is not really a huge priority. And I recognize that's a problem.
Well, this has been an awesome conversation. Thank you, Richard, for coming on and for letting me spend the morning with you and your mates at the shed. I hope that retirement continues to bring many more joys, opportunities, and friendships your way. And thank you, Jesse, for sharing your experiences with us also. All right, well, thanks for chatting.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me take some photos. It's nice to meet you.
Good luck with your
project. Thank you. I'll send you the article. I'll send you a magazine.
Tell us how much the bank is
paying. Yeah, sounds good. In the shed again.
Yeah, you represent the side that we don't always see.
The female side?
We mostly see the downside of, well, I think we see too much of the downside of young people.
Yeah.
He's a good example.
You handle, that's what I remember, you do handle. Is that working all right? It was broken, I can glue it back on.
My handle is hard to open, but
you fix it again,
but it's not. I think that's the van, not the woodwork, or not the inside.
What was it?
The actual sliding door.
No, the driver's door. You had the piece that was off, and I glued it.
Oh, maybe. Well, I think it's fine. I can show you. Alright, I'll see you later. Bye.
See you later, Ian.
Yeah, that's
pretty
good. See you later, Ian.
Okay,
see you then. I think he's coming to look at the van.
I know I am. I'm going at 100 mile an hour.
What was your name again?
Doug.
Doug.
What's your name?
Walk and start running.
Zanita. Yeah.
What?
Zanita?
Zanita.
Yeah, that's Anita with a Z.
And you remember that all right, eh?
I remember it, yeah.
You're sure?
Yeah, it's tricky.
Well, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Science Radio. We hope that you enjoyed this episode and that you found it valuable. And just a reminder, if you'd like to read the article that Zanita wrote for this episode, you can do that by heading over to our website, signsofthetimes.org.au, or you can read it in the April edition of the Signs of the Times magazine, which you can also subscribe to either in print or digitally at our website. For now, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.
This is an Adventist Media podcast.